I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's been a few weeks since we recorded this episode, so we're speaking, you know, with the benefit of hindsight.
Why would you say that? Why would you?
Just because I want a full. I'm always about full transparency.
Yeah, well, you don't need to say that, Tim. We could just play it off the cuff. We could just say, ha ha ha, just recorded a great episode with Ivo Graham today. It's a wonderful episode.
Ivo Graham may or may not have shaved off his beard by now. We don't know.
Oh, yeah, because he had a beard when we recorded. Well,
maybe he still has one. Maybe it's his new look.
I think you should grow a little bit of a Jean-Ge beard.
I had a beard before. I had a beard for years, but... You had it.
What was her name?
good one. That's really homophobic, actually.
No, it's not. It's not at all. It's homophobic. No, it's not.
I get it. You're a homophobe. I get it.
No, I'm not. I'm not in any way. I'm not.
It's a matter of public record now. But it's not. But the problem is really
what's
that with a beard is that it's just like. You have to like not shave it every day. It gets annoying.
Yeah, and it gets itchy at the beginning, doesn't it? Yeah. You have like a really itchy face.
And also like it gets disgusting.
Fine things in it.
Yeah, like yeah, it's gross.
I totally know what you mean.
Really, I think what I really wanted to say today is that it's been great doing the podcast over Zoom, but I just want to get back into it, get back into the studio. But I guess it's nice that we've got the option now. Like, say we can't get into the studio, we can just do one over the Zoom.
I totally know what you mean. Should probably kick off the podcast, shouldn't we, Francis?
Yes. Welcome to Private Parts. Welcome to Ivo Graham's second episode.
Ivo Graham, fabulous comedian, one of the UK's...
After popular demand, backed by popular appeal.
He's one of the UK's leading comedians. He went to my school. He's a great friend of ours,
He's not just one of the leading comedians. He's one of the funniest comedians.
He is so funny. This episode was hilarious. Once again, before we started, we do want to say a big thank you to all of the listeners, all of you private partners out there who tune in every single day. Thank you so much for doing
you
that.
You guys get me up in the morning.
Yeah, you make it totally worthwhile, and especially during this lockdown period, hopefully we've made you laugh week in, week out. Please also, we haven't asked this in a while, but if you fancy leaving us a review or subscribing or leaving a comment, a 5-star review would be amazing. All of those kind of things. It helps other people find our podcast. But ladies and gentlemen, for now, please enjoy the episode with Mr. Hilarious, Mr. Funny, Ivo.
Ladies man. Figure to us all.
Ivo.
And his daughter.
Ivo Graham.
Ivo, Mr. Graham.
Ivo Graham.
See you later.
Enjoy.
So, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
So, welcome back.
You every single time Ivo, he says is welcome back.
It's now a double meaning. It applies to both. Ivo, who is a friend of the podcast, and a friend of ours, and then also the listener, you know, the collective You know, I like to refer to it in the singular, Ivo.
Yes.
Listener.
But don't get to know any of them as individuals, obviously.
No, of course not.
No, we don't know.
The listener is very important to us.
Yes.
Yeah. But what's
it puts food on our families.
But what's more important, Francis, Ivo or the listener?
Mm. What's more important in this episode?
No, just in general.
Well, if we didn't have the listener, it would just be us three guys catching up over Zoom.
I'm not doing that.
No, that's unrealistic.
Of course it is, Francis. Let's not beat around the bush. If the listener's not here, we're wasting our time. Whereas if I'm not here, just get Tom Lucy in. It's absolutely fine.
Yeah, but if we had the listener on a cliff or Ivo on a cliff and you had to push one off, who would you push off, Francis?
I like that.
Yeah.
Why would I ask Ivo?
Which one he would push off?
The people on the cliff should never get a say. That's one of the rules. If you're on the cliff, you don't get a say.
Don't put me in that position. But I must say, Ivo, you are looking the picture of lockdown obedience. You know, with your beard, your long hair. Was this actually planned before? I'm not the plan.
I've got to say, Francis, the last 6 months have gone exactly as I'd hoped they would.
I bet you're really disappointed because you were just planning on growing a beard and growing your hair long. And this lockdown came around. Everyone thinks you're just doing it to follow the trend.
It is a real shame that my one-man mission of growing a beard has been... I'd hate to describe the pandemic as pulling focus, but that's really what it's done, actually. I haven't minded, obviously, and obviously it's, you know, my facial hair is but a historical footnote, but what a footnote.
Yeah.
Yeah? Come on.
Yeah, I know. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Private Parts Podcast. This is where we read the most intimate and sordid details of our lives. On the podcast today, a podcast friend, our friend, Ivo Graham.
Welcome back. And so, Ivo, what have you been doing that sort of strangely mirrors my life recently?
Right. Hang on, can't we just quit? We'll get on to our parallel lives in just a second, Francis. But have we just done another intro for the podcast? Why did Jamie do that?
That's what I do. That's what I do every single time. Is it a different one this time?
Oh, he's shown himself up. He doesn't listen to the podcast on a regular basis.
What? Yeah,
we've mixed it up a little bit, Ivo. We couldn't keep it the same because we felt that if we were keeping it the same, then people would just be like, well, this is boring. So we just had to mix up. And the only thing we mixed up is we occasionally don't do our diaries and the beginning changed, and that's about it.
So we occasionally don't follow the form.
So, but when you say the beginning change, you did a beginning, you introduced me, we had a solid 7 out of 10 chat, and then Jamie just introduced it again.
Yeah, that's what happens. I also think Francis is frozen on us. Hold on a second. That's Francis yes, has us. Hold on, guys. Yes. Oh, no, you're there. Francis.
No.
You've just frozen on us.
Yeah?
I mean, you had frozen on us for a bit.
And it's happened again.
No, it's not. He's pretending. He's pretending.
Yeah. Oh, it was a lampoon.
That is such a shameless prank at this early stage.
No, Ivo, what we do is we do our little conversation at the top and you were part of that. And then just in case people... Yeah, you were very much part of it. And just in case the listener who is still on the edge of the cliff was not noticing, it's Ivo Graham, the great, the legend, the iconic Ivo Graham who does stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
But I don't want any of that. If the listener's not on board by now, don't give him another chance. You know,
don't jump off that cliff, listener.
No, I'll jump off the cliff. By this point, I'm absolutely desperate for the sweet release of The Rocks Below because I essentially have done an opening chat which isn't quite good enough, so the episode's just been restarted to reaffirm who I am to this listener. And meanwhile, Francis is pranking me by pretending to freeze. What is the point of any of this?
Hey, we gotta do the best with what we've got, right?
Ivo, no, you missed the format. So what happens is we have a little ramble chat at the top for some reason, and then we intro you, and then it goes into the podcast.
All right, so look, Jamie, I'm gonna stop you there. Ladies and gentlemen, Welcome to Private Parts Podcast. We are here with the Ivor Graham.
Hello, Francis. For the third time, what a pleasure it is to be here.
No, let me do it. Let me do it.
The pleasure is all mine.
Let me do it. Everyone, welcome back to a brand new podcast.
With it's not the brand legend. New. We've been going 4 years.
Okay. Everyone, welcome back to Private Parts, the 3.5 year podcast.
The today, rock in your lives.
Yes.
Today, we have on the podcast, comedian, presenter,
Father figure.
He's a father figure
to me. Mentor slash father figure.
What else is Ivo?
Especially with that beard. It's just so, the masculine energy.
Yeah. Ivo, great.
The sacred masculinity, yeah. I must say, Ivo, is...
Keen hunter. He's a very keen hunter. He loves to hunt.
That's of anecdotes. That's all.
Ivo, we've missed you, buddy. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Just to confirm, is this a podcast tradition that every episode begins like this? Because I'm sorry that I haven't been keeping in touch with Private Parts.
It's all right. You know, it is clear that you haven't really been keeping up to date, but it's not a big problem. That's not a prerequisite of you coming on the podcast, so don't worry about it.
No, but it always feels polite to be absolutely on the money about prevailing trends, to be able to comment and compliment your host's house.
I don't even listen to this podcast.
But I do. I do. I listened to one with Amelia Dimboldenberg about...
Oh, yeah?
That was about 2 years old.
Yeah, it was. I really enjoyed it, actually. It was fantastic. You know, I could go on.
Who else have we had recently? Let's give the past year.
Most of the ones that have come out recently, you're just pumping out the old ones. I saw the dust was blown off my last appearance for no discernible reason a few weeks ago. Tom Lucy's got, you know, reissued again. Why is that happening?
Ivor, can I be honest with you though? Your episode that we did together is still one of my favourite ones I've ever done.
And I think it's also the listener believes that as well, because I think it's one of our highest performing episodes.
Yeah.
Well, that's really good. That's not what I'm in it for, obviously. I'm in it for the art and the friendship. But
Francis doesn't even know about the data. He just picked that out of nowhere.
Hey, Jamie, come on. I'm trying to compliment. I'm trying to butter up our guest.
Yeah,
hey, undermining it.
Hey, Ivor, yours is the best performing episode we've ever done.
You beat Jack Whitehall.
Yeah, oh, for God's sake, don't lie to me so barefacedly. My numbers are not fit to lick Whitehall's numbers' boots. And I'm fine with that. I'm absolutely fine with that. More bosh, more funny, better actor, but less of a father figure.
That is true.
Whitehall is not a father figure or a father.
Yeah. Wait, so Ivor, you've got a baby girl.
I've got a baby girl. She's approaching 16 months old, and I've spent the entirety of lockdown with her, which, all joking aside, if I may, has been a huge privilege and a very lovely experience.
I was just thinking, like, there's so many children who are getting this sort of so much attention from their parents. It's so unique in this period of time. There are going to be so many children who have grown up actually being taught school at home by their parents, which is incredible.
Taught school at home. If only there was a more common phrase for that. I love this. Something I enjoy more than teaching my daughter a bit of school at home.
Have you found it tricky to become? Because you have to become a dad, don't you? You have to kind of suddenly become.
You have to have sex.
You have to have sex, and then you have to become a dad. It's kind of like you don't suddenly just be a dad. You have to become one.
Yes, that's coming out loud and clear, Jamie. If I'm getting you right, I've had sex and I've become a dad.
Yeah. I'm just going to repeat it one more time. You had to have sex and then you became a dad.
It's double thumbs up. Yeah, that was my itinerary for 2018.
You plan everything. You're such a planner.
Meticulous. In the iCal. Sex, yes please, and then a later one on the same day, become a dad. So it's been great. And Francis, I didn't mean to distract from your very astute sociological point, which is that it is an interesting time for kids and for parents. Well, it's obviously an interesting and scary time for all of us, but it is odd to think that there are generations of kids who will grow up with this unique experience of being taught school at home if they're a bit older than my daughter, or having done their freshers week on, you know, Zoom if they're 18, which to be honest sounds absolutely horrible, and I have great sympathy for those people doing shots in their parents' living room. And my daughter, I don't think there's going to be as much effect because she's only, you know, sort of approaching one and a half, so you know, she's spending more quality time with her parents, which is great. But I don't think she's got a sense of the world she's missing out on. And she's still developing in terms of walking and talking in the sort of what I would expect to be the consistent way. But it is odd because, you know, my parents are very much the old school British, you know the score. Get them out as quickly as possible. Have them boarding by their second birthday. Whereas the pandemic has created a rather more hands-on approach, where I am very, very responsible a great deal of the time, and it feels great.
But do you think also that there are lots of like new dads at the moment who are a bit gutted that they can't do the whole paternity leave thing?
Right. What? Because what do you mean? Because they're doing paternity?
Because they've got to do it anyway, but they're not getting the holiday pay.
Right. It's such a specific area of sympathy, Francis.
Hey, look, I love
your worrying about all the fathers out there.
I've got a heart, guys. Forgive me.
Yeah. I'd say you've got, of the dads, you've probably got category A, love their kids, just reveling in all this time with them. Category B, can't really handle all the parenting duties, the lack of sleep, the stress. And I'd say the sort of intersection of sort of would be enjoying it, but can't stop thinking about all that free holiday. It's very narrow. It's certainly not been one voiced by any of the dads that I've spoken to.
Do you think, either you're in category A or category B?
I'm category A, but then I'm
category A, baby.
Of course, I'm not going to.
There's no paternity leave for comedians.
Well, that's it, exactly. Your life is just one big self-employed nightmare, which it's a privilege to enjoy. But it's kind of great. I was already, before this blimming pandemic, and I don't think I'm speaking too strongly there, I already was feeling the benefit of my job because I'd get these big long days with my daughter. And then particularly if I was gigging in London, I'd probably be able to put her, you know, give her her bath, put her to bed, and then still make it to whatever sad central London nightclub I was performing in time for my 8:30 stage time.
I thought you were just heading out clubbing. I was about to go. You just get yeah, going. I
stay in the club. Then I stay
then
in the club.
Hammered.
I thought you meant like embargoes or something.
I put in my shit. I would absolutely love to go to embargoes when all this is over. I can't wait.
Ivan, were you one of those parents who? I think it happens to most parents actually. Who suddenly, when they have a kid, they go, "God, it actually is quite a commitment. It's quite a lot of." You know, having a kid is a wonderful thing, but also it comes with a lot of stress and anxieties and worries and all those different things. Or have you just breezed into it quite easily and gone, actually, hey, I've always meant to be a dad?
No, I don't think I've breezed into it at all. I think I have shown moments of great weakness over the last year. And luckily, my daughter is too young to really appreciate those. But in a couple of years, she's going to get a real sense of just what a flawed character I am. By which point, hopefully, I'll have learned to hide it better.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I have a question, you know, and I'm sure Jamie would be curious to know as well, because we're both, you know, we're both childless, but like, you know, how, like,
that's how I see it.
But you know how, like, you know, you get a dog and you can sort of work out the monthly costs, like how much it's going to cost to get them food, clothes, all that stuff. But with a baby, you know, what's the sort of running cost to something like that to get it to a point where you can get it to start making its own money?
You're treating it like a car. What is its running costs? What's a baby's running costs?
What are the monthly overheads of of raising a baby?
I'll tell you what, I took the old girl in for her MOT last week, and I was absolutely astonished by how much. I can't even finish that sentence. I was choosing between damage
oil
and body work. I couldn't believe how much body work was required, actually. No, awful. Oil.
Oh my God.
I think oil would have been a great choice, actually, Jamie. Your comedic instincts are as sharp as ever.
Oh, they're definitely not as sharp as ever. They've gone down in this. I feel like I've become less creative and less... You know, what it's done to me is it's made me less creative, less motivated. I feel like a bit, it's quite hard to, because what we do is we normally walk around, especially as a comedian, right? You know, I still think one of the funniest stand-ups I've seen you do is when you do your Go Ape, when you talk about going to
Go
Ape.
Oh, yeah, that's brilliant.
Oh,
yeah.
I drove past
a Go Ape the other day and I thought of you.
Well, that's very good of you, Francis, and I hope that's always the case.
Yeah. But it's just brilliant, Ivo. And what you do is you go and gain these experiences. You go to Go Up and you realise how funny it is and, you know, you make them just stand up. But likewise, that's what we do in everyday life. And so because we haven't experienced that much, it's quite hard to find, to bring creativity. And that's what I found a little bit.
I think that's exactly it. I think there is a certain sluggishness that kicks in. And obviously, we're all enjoying this, you know, quite unique, if very stressful, shared experience. And I think it'll be a hell of a thing to, like, be nostalgic for, you know, when it's all over. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of absolutely dog-turd observational comedy about being in lockdown after this.
Yeah.
But it's still not quite the same as being out in the real world getting experiences. And you kind of get that sense when you get, and I don't mean any disrespect to you guys and your line of questioning, but you have a lot of these sort of Zoom calls or professional things where it's like, what have you been doing in lockdown? And it's like, well, it's literally the same as everyone else. Beard, Tiger King, slightly more buff, but still quite empty inside. You know, it's just, there's a bit of a set menu for everyone.
And then everyone just talks about how great Michael Jordan is. That's literally what's happened. And then what happens, which I find even funnier, is it's very much like boxing. When a big boxing match comes on, everyone knows how, they're like, oh, that's how you box. Same happens now with basketball. Everyone's just like, well, he should have, you know, he was like this, that. You don't have a fucking clue about basketball. Everyone just claims they do. Because that's the only thing we can talk about.
It's interesting. So what we've gone from here is a more broad comment about the nature of lockdown to Jamie being quite annoyed because you knew about the Chicago Bulls before the last one. Is that it? Yes. You feel like a lot of casual fans have turned up at the party,
right? Yeah, it's bullshit, Ivo. I knew about the Chicago Bulls. I knew about the 96 team. I knew them. It's just like now they've hopped on the bandwagon. Yeah. I now know what it means. Like
everyone knows as much, if not more, than you know.
No, they don't. They don't know anything. And everyone's trying to be a glory supporter now. I'm a true supporter. I'm a true Bulls fan.
I remember when I was at Summerfields with Jamie back in the late 90s, you could barely get a word in edgeways in Wavell, which was the D&T block of the school, where Jamie would be talking about, you know, whether there was room for Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen on the same team. And, you know, there wasn't always a great audience for it. You know, Mr. Nickel was trying to get us to concentrate on our soldering. But Jamie was living that. And now 22 years later, and everyone who's got 10 hours of Netflix can just pretend to know the same amount. I don't hear them, Jamie.
Did you guys watch Space Jam when it came out?
Yeah.
God, what a classic.
I don't really remember Space Jam, but I did watch it.
I rewatched it the other day.
I had a Space Jam duvet cover.
Did you? All right. Okay, you win, Jamie.
That's how much of a fan of basketball I was. I was a big fan.
But you know, I actually played basketball in America. Did you play basketball at Summerfields?
Yeah, I did. Case won the cup. Case won the cup because I scored like 4 3-pointers. Yeah.
I don't doubt that for a second, actually.
Yeah, we did. Freaking won it. Case won it, Ivo.
Oh, man. I'm at home now with all my old Summerfields magazines. I've got a good mind to pause this and go and get them so we can see whether there's any Jamie Lang-based data in them.
Yeah, I think in the break, at the end of part one, you should do that. At the end of part one. Oh, my
wait.
God.
Can't wait.
Ivo, can't wait. Hey, Ivo, also, before we get to the end of part one, we've got to touch on the last time we saw each other was when we were battling it out.
Yes.
Roasting each other.
We were roasting each other, but I hope that it felt, and I crucially hope that it looked, like that we were not, in fact, opponents, but brothers in arms. Because that's really what that show is about getting pairs of people who actually know each other and feel quite sort of comfortable in it. Is that how you feel it was?
I totally feel it was that way. And I was honoured, and this is no joke, I was honoured to even share a stage with you.
Well, that's too kind, and there really is no need for it, Jamie.
I really was honoured, and also...
Was he like this at Summerfields as well?
He was just banging on about the Bulls then.
But it was also, you know, one of the scariest things I've ever done. Mm. Wow, I've never been that nervous in all my life, and for all the listeners who don't know, it's called the Comedy Roast Battle, and what happens is two... friends go on stage, normally comedians, but in fact I wasn't a comedian, and you try and roast.
Now
I am. I wasn't then, but I am now.
Hairs on the chest.
Yeah, you battle it out against each other in a roasting way where you make fun
roasting
of
way.
Yeah, a roasting way where you make fun of each other and you say different jokes and things like that. And actually, being British, it feels like it's quite mean, but oh my God, it was terrifying, Ivor. You were a little bit nervous as well, weren't you?
Yeah, very much so. I think anything where you're being, you know, recorded for TV, you think, God, this is going to be watched back and it's just going to be there on YouTube or whatever. And also with a show like that, you really want to get the tone right because, you know, you have to kind of play the game and be a little bit vicious, but also you don't want to come across, you know, sort of badly or be inappropriate or harm.
Or too mean.
And harm what I consider a blossoming IRL friendship. So it is tricky, but also it makes you very aware of just how crucial like experience is, because we were both nervous, but I'd just done the show once before. And so even that experience, I think, gave me a bit more of a sense of, you know, the sort of rhythm of it. Whereas Jamie's great skill, although I'm aware it's also a curse, is he appears unbelievably natural in a huge variety of different professional environments, many of which I would absolutely flounder in. But on this occasion, because it was a roast battle show that I'd done before and because it was a bit more like stand-up, it felt like little old Ivo Graham was not punching up Big Man Lang, but actually punching across.
You were definitely punching down. You were definitely flicking me. You were definitely flicking down, Ivo. There was a point where we went on stage and it was like, it's like a boxing match. And what I suddenly realized is that I had just in my head short, sharp jokes. To the point, fish bang bosh, there was no sort of chat around it. So it'd be like, Ivo. So one of my jokes was, Ivo went to Eton, it's a boarding school, and I don't really know what happened there, but his arsehole is the inspiration behind Eton Mess. That was literally it. But what I didn't realise is Ivo would do narrative around his jokes. So he would make it into a story. And when he did his first joke, I went, oh, I'm fucked. It's way better.
I did go for a little bit more of a university dissertation approach. Just lengthwise was maybe a little bit, you know, imbalanced.
It was way better. Mine was more of a cracker joke and yours was more of a stand-up comedy funny ha-ha joke.
And what a lovely Christmas that is when your grandma opens her cracker to find a joke about her grandson's arsehole being the tattered inspiration for Eton Mess. Stuff that really brings... By the way, Jamie, we've discussed this before we started, but it really is Piccadilly Circus behind you in the flat.
Sorry, it's my girlfriend. She's making. What are you making, soap in the back? She's making stewed fruit. That's what she's making. Some stewed fruit. I can't. No, you're not. No, Ivo was just saying it's like Piccadilly in the back.
It's great. It's real life, you know.
But those roast battles are pretty tricky. It's also, I mean, Francis, I can't wait for you to do your one because it's like one of these things where you can't practice it either. You just have to go round it in your head. And, you know, I'm not a comedian by any stretch of the word, but for a comedian, it must be hard because you're used to practicing content and you can't practice it then, can you?
Exactly. You really have to go in quite blind into it. Is Francis doing that? Is that a...
Well, no, I thought it was very kind of you to presume that I would be, Jamie, but there's nothing on the cards yet.
Let's turn this episode into a come and get me plea.
All right, look, guys, producers of Roast Battle, who should I roast the battle with?
Michael McIntyre.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, but you're doing Russell Brand.
Oh, that'll get saucy.
Okay. Good.
Because I actually called out Russell Brand for a jiu-jitsu fight, and he completely ignored me. I said a charity. I said I want to do a charity jiu-jitsu match with you, Russell, and he just completely ignored me. Obviously, isn't into charity or something. I don't know.
He's not into charity or jiu-jitsu.
He's a blue belt in jiu-jitsu.
Oh, right.
We're both blue belts.
That does seem a bit of a wasted opportunity, Francis. Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, but so if you come across him, just say, look, Russell, I think you're actually smarter than you look, because I would be scared about fighting Francis if I were you.
What is your pitch going to be to Comedy Central?
Okay, who am I going to roast battle with?
Russell Brand. See, Russell Brand's on board, and he's finding an opponent, and you're going for the audition.
We're going to go for it on the roast battle. That's round one, and then jiu-jitsu is the round two.
No, that's not the format of the show.
New format. We're gonna evolve. You know.
Jamie, your final joke about me was bringing on adoption papers so that you could take my daughter into the care of your own home. So I think Francis and Russell having a little jiu-jitsu based tussle is very much in line with the do whatever the hell you want nature of roast battle.
Can we also mention what was so funny is that beforehand we had to do some little pieces to the camera. So Ivan had to put our hands up in a boxing sort of formation and do things like this and all that. And then we had to do sort of funny jokes. And I had got a little bit confident. And they said, okay, now say something funny to the camera. So I was saying my bit. And I thought it was much funnier than it was, than it actually was. And I was telling Ivo, I was giving Ivo tips.
Did you do your AIDS material?
I didn't do that, thank God. But then I was giving Ivo tips on what to say. And now I can just, looking back at Ivo's picture of his face, I can just see that I was just purely irritating him.
What?
I think it was like, you know when someone's trying to count to 20 and someone else is saying numbers? It's like, oh, shut the fuck up. I just want to come up with my own funny thing, not yours. Shit humor that you're trying to bring to the table.
That is not my recollection of it at all. But the forensic nature of you watching this back is really quite something.
I can tell you've watched it many times, Jamie.
I found the whole thing just hilarious. And Ivo, you are truly one of the great comedians out there. You are so funny. To be able to compare me to gluten was just genius.
Well, that's very kind of you, Jamie.
It was so good. Right, Francis, it's now time for the question of the week.
Oh, okay. All right, okay. So the question today is...
It's going to make it up, Ivan.
All right. The shopping trolley, right? It was invented at one point, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Obviously, you know, it didn't just come out of nowhere. It was made with whatever was lying around. So what were...
You literally could be on some sort of challenge where you just have to make up each word as it comes to you.
What were the three items that were...
around.
Yeah, what were the three items that were lying around which were used to build the first shopping trolley? And obviously one of the items is four items.
Right.
Come on, Ivo.
Three items, one of which is made up of four smaller
one
items.
One of four of the same item. All right. I'll give you a hint.
No. No hints required. I'm just gonna skew in my own fruit for a bit here. if I may. Some sort of plank. It was a plank, one of the items, Francis.
Yeah?
What?
One of those long planks. on the short planks.
Because the plank would have had nails in it.
What kind of shopping trolley are you pushing around Waitrose?
Paul, obviously they're different now, just like everything.
Also, I was thinking back to Caveman when they had supermarkets. They used to take their wooden trolleys.
Their wooden planks. Okay.
I don't think a plank is as bad a guess as you chaps are making it out to be. Okay? I'll accept that it's wrong, but I will not accept that it is wrong. Yeah,
is that your final answer?
Obviously, it's not my final answer because it's been discredited by the chiefs. So my next answer will be a steel girder.
That's okay.
Modern enough for you with my steel girder trolley. Have we got out of the caveman era yet?
Jamie doesn't know what a steel girder is.
Not entirely sure I know myself. But...
oh, God.
Oh, wheels.
Wheels. Yes, you got one. Well, I can't tell you that. All right, that's the hint. So the next two items.
You just said wheels got one. Okay, that's a hint. That's a hint. Okay, we're going to go for wheels. We're going to go for an iron girder. We're going to also go for a plastic tube.
Yes.
This is a shopping trolley, right? You know that.
Yeah. And we're going to go for a flag because they have one of those little flags and the small Waitrose ones, don't they, for the kids?
I wouldn't have gone for a flag, but I'm happy to be laid for kids.
No, you've got to give me two different answers.
What we've gone with is an unbelievably specific modern reference, which is that some kids' trolleys in Waitrose have small flags in, and we believe that those date back to the original trolley that was made out of the three things that were lying about.
It's an homage to the invention of the trolley.
Someone saw a steel girder sitting next to a flag and thought, one day... people will put olives in these.
My God. Listen, Francis, I tell you what, why don't we just find out in part two when you can actually reveal it?
Yeah. I look forward to it, Francis.
Hey, okay, Ivo.
It's kind of obvious, but whatever.
I don't care.
Yeah, we don't care. We're going to be back, everyone, in part two with the legend, the iconic Ivo Graham. So just click on over, baby. See you there.
See you on the flip side.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.